Hey, we got some new technology here today as well. We're going to be using an iPad, so we'll see how this goes. Hopefully it doesn't turn off halfway through. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. And good morning to those that are joining us online this morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Johanna, and I am the pastor of Celebrate Recovery here at Lakeside. And if you're thinking, what's Celebrate Recovery? Well, I'd love to answer that question, and you can always come find me out in the atrium or wherever I am. If you have any other questions, I would love to just meet you and say hello. So, here we go this morning. Last week, Robin kicked off this new series, introducing an explosive set of sayings from Jesus found in the book of Matthew called the Beatitudes. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that message last week, Robin did a fantastic job introducing this message, and I just encourage you to go and check it out. She said that we're going to be going through the Beatitudes all the way up until Christmas. Yes, Christmas is coming. Last week, too, Robin was put out kind of a question to the audience, all of us, and she asked, who's listening to Christmas carols? And I think I was like listening, and I'm like, it sounds like most people are like, no, you can't be listening to Christmas carols. Like, Halloween isn't even here yet. But yes, we are listening to Christmas carols in my house. My 13-year-old daughter Elizabeth loves Mariah Carey. So, you know, she's got a few good Christmas hits, so we've been listening to those for a couple of weeks now. But yeah, we are doing this series on the Beatitudes. And perhaps this is the most hope-filled, yet most challenging portion of Scripture. The Beatitudes really set up or act like an introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount just continues into the book of Matthew. And the whole thing, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, are like our constitution as the church. Or you could say our calling as the church. Who we are to be as people. It describes the kingdom of God, as we say here, life as God intends it. And it's through the Beatitudes that Jesus is inviting us to take part in restoring a kingdom posture. A posture meaning a new way of being, a new way of understanding. And it is radical. The Beatitudes are explosive. And we're going to see that today as we unpack our first blessing. Now, this isn't the first blessing in the list of blessings. It's just the first one that we are going to tackle in this series. And at first glance, when we hear these Beatitudes, they don't really sound like blessings. And there is mystery here. We talk about at Lakeside how Jesus' message and the scriptures, they're like a gem that we just keep turning and we're looking at it from a different and new perspective. And so we're going to just jump right in. We are talking about Matthew 5, verse 5 today. Blessed, meaning fortunate or happy, are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, the audience hearing this message was primarily Jewish, the Jewish people. And they were an oppressed people. They were living under the oppression of the rule under the oppression and the rule of the Roman Empire. Their basic needs being ignored by the authorities of the day. They were discarded, outcasts, nobodies, living in fear, anxiety, sorrow, misery. They were a people in need. They were people who knew that they needed help. They knew that they were nobodies. They were people without a lot of hope. And then Jesus comes and he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I wonder how they would have heard this. Well, I want to ask you just to take a moment and think, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word meek? Well, can I share with you what came to my mind? Did anybody else think about Piglet? No, if you don't know Winnie the Pooh, everybody's got to know Winnie the Pooh. This is Piglet. Love Piglet. I can even relate to Piglet. Piglet is small, and she's quiet, and she's kind of shy and timid. She even, like, stutters a little bit when she's trying to talk. And this is often kind of the image that we think of when we hear the word meek. We think meekness is weakness. It's being timid or passive, being a pushover, being quiet, being submissive. Really a whole lot of undesirable qualities that nobody really wants to be described as. But this is not at all what it means to be meek. The word meek used here in Matthew 5:5, it finds its roots in the Hebrew word ani. And ani is directly translated afflicted, oppressed, or burdened. So to be meek is to be afflicted or burdened. Blessed, fortunate are the afflicted and burdened. That doesn't sound right. At Celebrate Recovery, we have a newcomer meeting every week, so for anyone who shows up for their first time. And often people show up to Celebrate Recovery afflicted and burdened. Whether they're wrestling with abuse that maybe happened in their past or that they're currently in, or if they're struggling with a mental health issue, anxiety or depression, relational conflict, they might be in the midst of a separation or a divorce or struggling with a child or with a parent, or maybe it's even because of choices that they've made in their own life. But they show up and they're burdened and they're afflicted. And I often say, as is appropriate in the moment, you are in the best place. You are in the best place. Not meaning Celebrate Recovery, meaning that place of affliction and burden. And why? Because when we are at the end of ourselves, and when we recognize our own powerlessness, our own need for help, we are never more open to receive the love of God and the love of other people. This is the best place to start if we are looking for hope and healing. The Hebrew word ani, it also has many derivatives, which basically means other words that are kind of similar in the same word category. And these are used all over Scripture. We've got afflicted, gentle, burdened, lowly, and humble. You see, our world, we lift up individual freedom, individual power, and personal glory. Look at me, look how great I'm doing. Or look at me, look how bad I'm doing. We are an ego-driven culture where it's all about us. And we can see this just looking at social media. We see meekness not as a strength, but as a weakness. But this is not what the kingdom of God looks like. This is not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is emptying ourselves that we find a blessed life. It is when we come to choose that it's not about us and we lower ourselves. I have a fly on my nose. Wow. When we lower ourselves, that we become like Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 6 to 11, it says this: who, though he was in the form of God, this is Jesus, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is explosive. The secret to blessedness, it's not found in ego, it's found in emptiness. It's found in humility. And to be humble is to bow down, to bend, to make yourself low, to cast yourself down. The bottom line here is that the way to the kingdom is down. And it's not in like a self-defeating, shame on me, I deserve to be at the bottom. That's not what we're saying here. It actually comes from a really deep knowing of our own value and our own worth and our own purpose as children of God, that we are rooted in the love of God so deeply that we can then lower ourselves. Meekness takes incredible strength and courage. Meekness is strength clothed in humility. And I'll say that again. Meekness is strength clothed in humility. To respond to power, to respond to violence and oppression with humility. To be meek means to be afflicted and yet respond with a posture of humility. This is strength under control, inner power in the midst of affliction. Meekness is not passive. And what I'm not saying, and what I'm not saying is that if we are being harmed, or you are being harmed or afflicted, that we don't just take it. We don't just accept it and take it. That's not what I'm saying, not at all. Jesus is a God of justice, of restoration, of making all things new, all things right. And if you are in a relationship or in a situation where you find you're being bullied, or you're being picked on by your peers, or you're being abused, or you're being harmed in some way, I want you to hear me say that God is not okay with that. That God is not okay with that. And that you are worth being cared for. And our pastoral staff, we are here to support you, to help you. Myself, Robin, Brian, Rose, and Elisa. There are kids and youth pastors and family pastors. We're all here to do what we can to support you. And if we can't do something, we'll resource and offer resources to you. But we are here to walk with you, if that is where you find yourself. A fun fact I want to share. There are only two people in Scripture that are called ani, called meek. Moses and Jesus. And Jesus describes himself as ani in chapter 11 of the book of Matthew. And this is what he says in verse 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, those who are afflicted, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke," meaning his teaching and his guidance, "upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Now, I want to acknowledge here that for some of us, Jesus' burden has not always been experienced as light. And that the church has often placed burdens on people that weren't actually from Jesus. And if that was your experience, I want to say I'm sorry. There's the fly again. I'm sorry. Jesus said it for himself, that his burden is light. And that he is humble. And that he is gentle, that he is meek, ani. You see, Jesus knows what it is to be afflicted. He was oppressed. He was unhoused. He was a Jew from a backwater town called Nazareth. He knows pain. He knows what it is to be burdened. He can understand our pain and our affliction. He can understand your pain. He knows what it is to lack. He knows what it is to be a nobody in the world's eyes. And Jesus is the perfect representation of God. We have only unpacked the word meek so far, and I only have about 25 minutes. But this verse goes on, and it says, the meek will inherit the earth. Now, that word earth, its original Hebrew, in the original Hebrew, it actually means land or ground. That would be more accurate. So it's, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. And there is a direct link, a direct passage from Matthew 5:5 into the Old Testament in the book of Psalms that says this exact thing, the same statement. And it's Psalm 37, verse 10 to 11. And it says, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. This is a message of abundant hope. Because remember the listeners, they were oppressed, afflicted people. They were people without hope for the future. And this is a message of freedom, a message of new life. Land in the ancient times, it meant security, it meant social stability, it meant economic well-being, it meant life, it meant flourishing. And so land was like their means of providing for themselves and for their families. So it would be like us today just having a job to help care for ourselves and our families. So land gave people a home. It gave them food and work and the ability to provide for themselves and their families. So this is hope. This was hope. Jesus is saying to his meek audience, it won't always be this way. It won't always be this way. You will inherit the land. And I don't know how many times in my own journey of life and recovery and healing that I have needed to hear that. I've needed to hear, it won't always be this way. There is hope for you, Johanna. And times where I longed for things to be different. And I loved that song, Oceans, about stepping out on the water, because I wrote here, you know, that I think often for myself and for us when we're in places of hopelessness, that it's literally just taking the next small step forward, that we begin to see what God is doing and we get to see God reveal himself in that process. We don't always get to see it ahead of time. This inherit the land would have also been really hard for the Jewish people to hear. The Romans ruled the land, not the Jews. And there were zealots, and I didn't know what a zealot was. I was like, what's a zealot? I was like, I've heard of that because I watched The Chosen. Otherwise, I don't know what a zealot is. But a zealot were Jews who were freedom fighters. So they were attempting to take back the land through power, through control, through violence. But Jesus is saying to them, no, it is the peaceful, it is the gentle who put their trust in God that will inherit the land. This is not by force. And this is a message for today. It's not by powering up. It's not by fighting harder. The kingdom way is down. It will come through people choosing the posture of humility, of making themselves low amidst oppression. Hope is found in humility. This would be a huge act of faith to believe what Jesus is saying here. It is a huge act of faith. Faith to live in this kingdom posture of humility, and faith to believe that God will restore, not me. That God will follow through with giving freedom. And it's crazy to me, and it's complicated. And it can be hard to understand. And this message, just to be totally honest, was really hard to write. Because I think sometimes, often, actually, that understanding comes through embodiment. It comes through action. It comes through actually doing whatever it is that we need to do. And Jesus left us an embodied example of what meekness looks like. And this is in John 13, starting at verse 3. And this is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So right at the front end, Jesus is saying that he knew who he was. He knew who he was, he knew whose he was, and he knew what he was to do. And then from that place, Jesus got up from the meal at the table that he was sharing with his disciples, and he took off his outer clothing, and he grabbed a towel, and he tied it around his waist. And then it says that he grabbed water and he filled a basin and then he washed his disciples' feet. And it says he took his towel and he dried their feet after. This is the posture, friends, that Jesus calls us to. A posture of humility. My friend, Aaron White, he's not actually my friend, I don't know him. I wish he was my friend. He's a pastor and an author, and he lives in the downtown east side of Vancouver, among the inee, let's say, of today's world, the addicted, the oppressed, the afflicted. He lives and works there. And he says this great little catchy quote. He says, we can't out-low Jesus. We can't out-low Jesus. You see, if you dug a hole and you went to the bottom of the hole, Jesus is there. And if you kept digging and went deeper, Jesus is there. You can't get lower than Jesus. He is the most humble, the most meek. We can always get lower. And Jesus said, it's when you lose your life that you will find it. Oh, now I gotta get up. And then it says in the scripture that Jesus said to his disciples, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash another's feet, one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. In Jesus' day, foot washing, this was like a necessary service. People wore sandals and walked on muddy, dirty roads. And so when they'd come to their house or they go to a guest's house, their feet would be dirty and sore, maybe have sores on them. They'd be tired. And it was the role of the servant to wash the feet. And it was an act of hospitality and welcome on behalf of the guest or the owner of the home to have the servant wash their feet. And Jesus here, he voluntarily picks up the towel and puts it on and takes on the role of being a servant. The posture of humility. I'm going to invite Noah to come up. He's just going to play a bit on the piano. We do this normally here at Lakeside, have just a time of kind of reflection to think about what you've heard and what you've experienced so far this morning. And I have a couple questions up on the screen just to be prompters. If that's helpful for you, and just taking a couple minutes, we're just going to take a couple minutes to reflect. So here's some questions. Where in your life can you begin to practice a posture of humility? Is there a circumstance that you're facing that requires great faith? And what would it look like to trust Jesus in it? And lastly, where do you need hope and healing in your life? So we'll just take a couple minutes. Well, as we wrap up here this morning, I want to send you off with a blessing. And this is kind of our blessing for this series as we go through the Beatitudes. I think I'll mention too that I think there'll be prayer people at the crosses as well. If you are looking for prayer this morning or just someone to talk to, they're there and they're always happy to connect and pray with you. But let me bless you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, friends. Look forward to seeing you out and about.